All righty, boys and girls, we are back here with the On Deck Circle podcast, brought to you by the Fantasy Six Pack. Sorry, I was just talking to the boys backstage, and one of my friends, actually, Jake Devereaux, just told me that for his fantasy football league, they got a cameo of Andy Dick announcing their draft order, and it's just fantastic. Oh, sorry, that's my dog. Fran, shh. And Andy Dick announcing a draft order is just fantastic. So without further ado, my first question today is going to go to my man, Jason. Jason, can you please come on camera? Heck, isn't Andy Dick a good
that's
one?
That's a good one. That's a good
Andy
one.
Dick's a good one. But my question has nothing to do with Andy Dick. It does, however, have to do with terrible television. Do you have a TV show that either like your girlfriend or your wife, you are married, right? Oh, fuck. I think I lost you. I don't know if it's you or me. But is there a terrible TV show that you enjoy? Dave, can you try and come on and see if it's you, me?
Oh, it's not you. It's Jason.
It was Jason again.
That son of a bitch.
He gets the promotion. Oh.
somebody's not happy.
My friend.
Jeez.
This is
Does that mean I get to answer two questions this week?
Hold on one second. I need a friend. Come here. Shh. Yes. So you can answer the first one. Do you have a terrible TV show that your girlfriend or ex-wife made you watch?
Made me watch.
Or like it was one of those things where you watched and then you were like kind of invested in it in like the background.
I mean, I have seen a couple. I don't know if I'd say seasons, but I've probably seen a full season of like Bachelor or Bachelorette. Yeah. I know one season I definitely watched like the whole thing.
Yep.
But I think I've only watched the one. Maybe I watched two. Maybe
recent or no?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, less than 10 years, more than 5.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I love the Bachelor and the Bachelorette.
Yeah, that would be what I would say.
Okay. Jason, my guy.
Knock your shit off, Jason.
I know. I don't know what's going on. There's not even bad storms today. I guess I gotta call the internet company or something.
Did you hear the question?
The bad TV, yeah.
Yeah. What's your bad TV show of choice?
As far as like I secretly watch it or bad and it's good?
Both. I guess.
I mean, I'm like a closet X-Files fan. That's always been like one of those like really nerdy but like super cool TV shows, I feel like. So,
yeah. Fran.
We'll go with that for sure.
All right. I'm going with the Jersey Shore. There's a dog fight going on.
What? I didn't even notice.
I can't hear you. I think he was saying that he likes Jersey Shore, I think is what I got out of that.
I saw like one season of that.
So admittedly, I also agree with Nick. That's also a pretty bad television show that I've actually been suckered into watching. Right. So.
Oh, yeah?
I'm back. Sorry about that, guys.
All right. Now, what's your legitimate question for me?
All right, legitimate question for you. Is there an album that you can listen to? You also strike me as a guy that might not like music, but an album that you can listen to like with no skips. Jason, you can also answer, but this is Dave's question.
Throw
it on in the car and you're like, let's roll.
I mean, there's a couple of, there's like, I can think of a couple people that I listen to that I like everything that they do. So like, pretty much everything that Eminem does, I like everything that Linkin Park does, I like, but some of those Eminem albums get a little bit long and, you know, yeah. I can't say I wouldn't skip over some of them.
Okay.
With Linkin Park though, I pretty much like all of it. So I guess I would say probably like Hybrid Theory is maybe an album that I probably wouldn't really skip over.
I did not anticipate either of those two answers. I was thinking you were going to be like the Allman Brothers or something.
I don't even know who that is.
Jason, you?
Oh, Michael, yeah. I mean, yeah, Dave had a good one. I do think, you know, Eminem, the Slim Shady LP is a good one, the very first album. And then I'm a little bit more of like a, you know, 90s, early 2000s hip hop. So I'll even go something with like Wu-Tang Clan, like 36 Chambers. So.
Okay. Wow. I don't think I would have guessed that all three of us had the same music interest.
Okay.
So that's
what's yours? I mean, what's yours, Nick?
Mine's actually not from that era at all.
Britney Spears, what?
No. I'm a big Kendrick Lamar fan.
Okay.
Okay.
So probably Good Kid, Mad City, just like straight through, I can really just go. Or Swimming by Mac Miller. Mac Miller is like my all-time favorite just because like he was a white guy in the suburbs. I was a white guy in the suburbs, so I kind of had to like him. So anything from him, rest in peace, obviously. But that's all I got.
All right, enough bullshit.
More dogs barking.
No more bullshit. We're actually gonna get to a topic here. I'm gonna let Jason run through this again this week, but we're actually gonna start with a topic that Nick will like.
Yeah, I think Nick. Woo-hoo. I put this on the docket not only first, but I'm also put it at the top of the list for Nick alone. But yeah, let's get right into it. Chris Sale of your Boston Red Sox is back after being out since March of 2020 when he underwent Tommy John surgery. The Red Sox have obviously taken their time with Sale as he has now missed 18 months, roughly. This is the type of spark, obviously, that the Red Sox need right now.
Not again.
In the highly competitive AL East. Oh,
there it is.
But when it comes to dynasty baseball, not just, you know, talking about Red Sox here, dynasty baseball, is the 33-year-old Chris Sale someone that can be trusted going forward? Do you think he can regain his dominant skill set? Because let's not forget, back in 2019, he had a season kind of to forget when he went 6-11 with a 4.4 ERA, 2 walks per 9, and a 20% home run to fly ball ratio. So, you know, what are your guys' thoughts on Chris Sale, and can he regain his, you know, his former self?
I'll start with this one, Dave. Is that cool, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't going to have it any other way.
Good. All right. I've never been so excited for a game against the Baltimore Orioles than I was on Saturday. It was just great. I don't know if you guys saw his comments at all, but he was emotional after that one. He was like, I've lost so much. I've never appreciated the game more. And a hungry Chris Sale is a scary Chris Sale for everyone else because he's terrifying. He's the guy that cut up the fucking jerseys and all that shit. But are you guys familiar with Dan Shaughnessy? He's like a writer for the Globe here. He's pretty well known ish. And all he does is just shit on the Red Sox. And he was like, they gave him a cupcake opponent. You got the Yankees in. Yeah, you fucking need to.
Yeah, that's what you do. I mean,
literally the purpose of the Orioles is to bring people back and get them back in their zone. He looked great. He gave up some back-to-back homers, but that's fine. Like, it's not something I'm really overly concerned about. I am concerned just about the Red Sox in general. They fucking blew one today against the Yankees. They were a game back. It feels like 3 weeks ago I said they were 9 games back, and now I'm going to eat crow. But I'm excited that Sale's back. He's going to punch him in the arm. We finally got rid of Garrett Richards is out of the fucking rotation. We got Hawk in there, who Jason covered this week in one of his articles because he writes all of them. Jesus Christ, you're making me look like shit. But I'm excited. I'm ready for Sale's next start, which I think is Friday. Not positive, but I think it's Friday. So I'll return back with my Chris Sale report next week once he plays a real team.
Once he plays a real team, huh? I mean, one thing I'll say about the Red Sox in general is, you know, they obviously didn't do like much at the deadline, but getting back Chris Sale would be the equivalent of, you know, Max Scherzer. So, I mean, yeah, they didn't make a move for that, but, you know, they kind of had that in his back pocket or, you know, in their back pocket a little bit. I mean, for Max Sale, or Max Sale, Jesus, for Chris Sale. I've always been, you know, pretty high on him, I would say, probably higher than most. I mean, he's a pitcher, but up until he got hurt, I guess, you know, he had been one of the more reliable guys, you know, in the league. He's 102nd in my ranking, so, you know, right around the top 100, him being healthy and coming back is only going to move him up. I think he's younger than most people think he is. He's still only 32 years old. So it's not like, you know, he's coming back and, you know, he's finishing out his career. He's still got, you know, what, at least if all goes well, at least a solid 5 years, you know, you would think. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, kind of oddly enough, as far as, you know, how long he has left to go, I think that him missing that year, oddly enough, could kind of help him in a little bit of aspect of he hasn't thrown in a year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that that'll necessarily like prolong his career by a year, you know, kind of just like skipped a year. But, you know, now that he's back, I don't look at the Tommy John as a negative unless, you know, he gets hurt really quick and, you know, then he very well is done. But, you know, now that he's back, I kind of look at him as just, you know, a 32-year-old pitcher with, you know, a semi-fresh arm. I mean, he's thrown a lot of innings over his career, but, you know, he's a guy I think that you can probably pretty safely rely on in, you know, dynasty circles to be a SP1 probably for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, when Chris Sale's healthy, they're, you know, it's not, it doesn't get a whole lot better than him. Nope. All right, let's talk about our favorite team on this podcast. We seem to talk about him every week.
Yeah. Seriously, so let's jump to the next guy here. Trevor Larnach was the former first-round pick, made his debut earlier this season, which I believe we discussed in an earlier episode when he made his debut.
Yep.
But, yeah, however, the Twins' top prospect has up and down so far in his young career. He's currently only hitting .223 with 7 home runs, and he's striking out 35% of the time. Since the All-Star break, he's been hitting a pitiful .167 with no home runs. So clearly the demotion was warranted. But what do you guys think? Will Larnach be able to bounce back? Do we see him again in the big leagues this season, maybe in September? Is Larnach someone you guys think that could ever be a top 50 outfielder in Dynasty? Or is he more just kind of like a waiver wire fodder and organizational depth?
I mean, Larnach for me, he's still ranked relatively high. I mean, he's 234th. So, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at. But a lot of that, you know, stems from, you know, the production that we saw from him at the minor league level. In the minor leagues, I mean, he's been absolutely, you know, killing it. He's had roughly a, you know, full season in the minors. He had 172 games. And if you were to, you know, put that all together, we're talking about .306 average, which is obviously great. .384 on base, which is fucking phenomenal. .473 slug. You know, 20 home runs, basically 100 RBIs, 7 stolen bases. So that would be a pretty decent year. But mm-hmm. of course, major league level, you know, it's been a whole different ball game. And my fear, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily the case, but, you know, my fear is that he's more of maybe one of those 4A guys, you know, a guy who is too good for the minor leagues, yeah. but, you know, possibly is a little bit outmatched at the big league level. Now, like I said, with that in mind, you know, we're still looking at a relatively small sample size, you know, at the big league level. He's only had 260 at-bats, which isn't a ton. He's done a little bit of damage, but not what you would expect. You know, he also doesn't have a phenomenal, you know, lineup around him at this point. It's not a bad Twins lineup, but that kind of stuff really, really helps, you know, a young player. But, you know, like I said, absolutely has killed the minor leagues in 2018-19. Doesn't really have, you know, any outstanding tool. Like across the board, he's got, you know, average tools, which isn't a bad thing. You know, I don't think he'll ever be, you know, a dynasty star just because he's not going to lead the way in any one spot, but he's also not really going to kill you anywhere. So, you know, that's why he was sitting at about, you know, .234 for me, which puts him in, you know, reasonable territory, guy that, you know, you would like to roster, but not a guy that you're going to rely on. So we will see. I think you're going to get a better version of Larnach. I don't know that it'll be this year. Might be 2 or 3 years down the road. Might take him a while to get traction, but we're not going to see those minor league numbers. That's just not going to happen.
I couldn't agree more, Dave.
I know. I took all the words right out of your mouth. Like, everything you were going to say, damn it.
Every little thing. I have all these notes right here written on my hand.
You rubbed them off earlier?
Yeah, when I was.
Yeah.
Right. But he's a guy that I really loved. For first-year player drafts, he was someone that I really wanted. I didn't get anywhere. But I think he's too good to be this bad, if that makes any sense at all. He's not going to be what he is in AAA because that's very you can't replicate that.
Most people don't.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's just he was too good in AAA, so expectations were too high. He's really somewhere in the middle of where he was and where he is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not going to be a waiver wire guy. He'll be like a if he's like your third outfielder, he'll be great. If he's your second outfielder, he'll be like, you probably could do better.
All right. This might be one of the things I most look forward to is I want to hear Jason pronounce this name. So, Jason, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, let's get into the next topic. Your another pitcher coming off the long-term IL is Atlanta's Hyaskar Ynoa.
There we go.
Hey.
Like that? Yeah.
That ain't bad.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick to the last name, that Iona.
Yeah, has been, please do.
Out for the last 3 months after suffering a fractured hand when he actually punched the bench in anger. So he's scheduled to make his return tonight against the Marlins. Ynoa is interesting because he's someone that kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, he never really had that top prospect tagged along with him. So he kind of came out of nowhere last year, made his debut, just kind of had a mediocre 2020 and only a handful of starts. But then again, he had a little bit of a breakout earlier this year and kind of people's heads kind of turned when he went 4-2 with a 3.02 ERA, 1.05 whip, 50 strikeouts and only 11 walks. So kind of curious to see what you guys think. Is someone that, you know, Dynasty Gamer should be excited about? Is this someone that, you know, you've had on your IL that you kind of, you know, put in your lineup right now and be like, hey, this guy might be able to help me, you know, finish off the, you know, a run here at the end of the season here? Or is this something you can look at even long-term as a middle of the rotation kind of arm that you can count on?
Yeah. So he's interesting. You know, he's still just 23 years old. So, you know, that's about as early as you really see, you know, prospects come up. And he definitely had, you know, early success this year, you know, at the big league level, you know, quite surprisingly, even with his bat, which I know we don't really care about, but you know, it is kind of funny, but you know, like you echoed, you know, his stats, you know, at the beginning of the year were pretty nice. I definitely like, you know, the 50 strikeouts in 44 innings, not, you know, amazing, but that's what you want to see. And even more so, you'd like to see the 11, you know, walks there. That's not too bad, keeping his whip, you know, just over one. So that's fantastic. You know, for me, he still is, you know, 549th in the ranking. So he's got a long ways to go. I'm more concerned than optimistic. You know, his advanced metrics, when you look at him, even with how great of a season, you know, he got off to with the start, he is in the bottom, you know, 25% of everything that's important for the most part. You know, nice on the K percentage, nice on the walk percentage. So, you know, he might have a little bit of room to grow, but you know, when you're in the bottom 25% of like everything, there's a lot of concern there. So, you know, I'd have to look up like his xERA and all that kind of stuff to see exactly what kind of, you know, regression there is to expect, but there's going to be some. So I wouldn't get too excited and go crazy on this guy. He's still a, you know, I mean, depending on the depth of your league, you know, you can consider him probably an SP 4, maybe a 5. So I wouldn't go crazy, but if he can keep these ratios in line, that's very valuable. I just don't think you're going to see him anywhere near like the 3 ERA and the 1 WHIP. You know, maybe 4.5 and 1.3 is what you'd expect, which is right around league average.
Yeah, I agree. I actually had him. Notice I say had in my in another 30 team league I'm in. I'm in like the hunt there. I'm like probably like a game out of the playoffs, and this is the last week. But at the deadline, I traded him for Brendan Crawford just because I really needed a shortstop. And Crawford's been great, but I thought I stole Crawford. Not stole Crawford, but I think Crawford's a far better dynasty, well, fantasy player for me right now. You know, is fine. He's not going to – I don't like you said, he's like an SP4 if on your team or a 5. If he's anything higher than that, your team sucks. So that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty fair swap. I mean, again, when it's fairly close to even in a vacuum, give me the hitter over the pitcher.
Yeah.
So I do have Crawford ranked lower, but Crawford might be a little bit misranked. I don't know that he's as good as he's been this year. Yeah, yeah, exactly. 23-year-old pitcher that's performing at the big league level, that becomes valuable, even if it's a guy that you're going to regress. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't regress as much as we think. So I guess it will be kind of interesting. I'm a little more interested in the next guy, Jason.
Yeah. Admittedly, this has been one of the topics that's been omitted the past couple weeks. As we've been talking, you know, trade deadline and news and other topics. But the Angels' first-round pick from 2020, left-handed pitcher Reed Detmers, was actually called up to make his Major League debut just one season after being drafted. Detmers had an absolute dominant start to his minor league career so far. In only 13 starts, he was 3-4 with a 3.15 ERA, 18 walks to 106 Ks, and only 60 innings pitched.
Yeah,
which is good, and that was you know, good enough for 16 K per nine. That's actually really shocking and nice to see.
Yeah, and that's a lot of it. That's is that double A, so it's not like he was doing that in like low A or something where you'll see guys put up some funky numbers.
Yeah,
double A is where you want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, he had back-to-back starts for double-A where he combined for 30 strikeouts. He had a 14-strikeout game and a 16-strikeout game.
That's crazy.
So, you know, now in his first two starts, you know, they were pretty rough as he gave up 11 earned runs in the two starts, but and he never made it past the fifth inning. However, in his most recent start, it was much better as he went six strong innings with six strikeouts, two walks, and earned his first major league win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on Detmers? What's his dynasty outlook going forward? Does he stick with the Angels the rest of 2021 and obviously his, you know, future outlook?
I'm going to just be completely honest with everybody right here.
Never heard of Reed Detmers.
Nope. I've heard of Reed Detmers. But I can't say that I'm, like, really overly familiar with him. Like, I understand that he was, like, a first-rounder last year, and I understand that he was tearing it up, but I really don't know anything.
Side note, educate me. Side note, I actually took him as my first-round, first-year player draft in the 30 Rock. So I own him in 30 Rock.
Your team's doing great.
Where did you draft him?
I got him 20th overall.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a little on the low end of probably where he should have gone. So that's a good pickup.
Yep.
He's 312th in my rankings now. That was pre-promotion, so I don't know. He'll probably bump up a little bit, but. You know, he's got a really nice, you know, four-pitch mix, which is, you know, what you're looking for from a young starter. His best pitch is by far his curveball. Definitely a plus, maybe a plus-plus out pitch. Gets, you know, really great shape on that pitch. That's going to be, you know, a kind of pitch that, you know, he definitely is going to be able to rely on to get strikeouts, I think, at the big league level. His fastball is in good shape. You're looking at about 94 on the fastball with a little bit of movement. Not bad. He commands it pretty decently, especially you can see with those minor league numbers. You know, one thing at the minor league level for pitchers, you know, that I'm looking at, I want to see him strike a lot of guys out. I don't really give a shit what their ERA is. I don't really give a shit what their whip is, but I like to see lots of strikeouts. More importantly, I like to see few walks. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he checks the boxes there. He's got a changeup, you know, that has nice sink on it. If I'm going to throw a changeup, I either want a lot of, you know, horizontal movement or I want to sink. Give me the sink, I guess, in today's, you know, day and age. And then he's got a slider that he worked on, has been working on since he got drafted. So, you know, if he can, you know, take that really good curveball, can command that fastball well, if he can get either that changeup or that slider to be an average pitch, if he can get them both to be average, you're looking at an SP2 upside for sure. I don't know that he has SP1. I just don't know that that's there for him. But you know, an SP2, you know, maybe you know, really solid, you know, SP3 for you. In the meantime, I could see him becoming, you know, a decent pitcher. Angels need one really badly. So yeah. I mean, you know, of all teams, you know,
their best pitcher.
Yeah, I know, right? But I mean, they could really use him. And he's got some upside there, so I definitely like it. But what I like more, Jason, is the next topic.
I do have a question, though. Sorry.
As a Tigers fan,
yeah.
Can you give me a quick on Reed?
Why do you ask for? Listen, if you're going to answer comps,
I know.
Ask but before the goddamn show.
Well, it's better if I get your first one.
Candid. That's too hard.
I know.
So comps are really difficult, Nick. I don't dare really throw a comp out just out of the blue. That's one of those. I feel like I need to think about it.
Yeah,
I usually think because that's hard just to give you a comp without comps are not something that a lot of people excel at, and I'm in that crowd. So right. Next week when you want a comp on the farm, and the group chat say, hey guys, I'm going to ask you for a comp, and then we'll go from there. Sound good?
Hey, just to throw it out there, I'll give you Zach Greinke just to make you happy.
Okay, thank you.
Zach Greinke's not left-handed.
Okay, I'm not. You put me on the spot.
That's terrible. Move it on. See, this is why you don't do it on the spot.
See,
this is why you don't try and help me, Jason.
No, that's terrible. Call my comps horrible, and I'm going to keep throwing them out there just so we can call them
horrible. Give me a good comp. Mike Trout.
Well, that's just not ridiculous.
They're both angels.
No, you can't. No more comp talk without prior approval. Now, can we talk about my Tigers? God damn it.
I had to throw Nick a bone, so I figured I'd throw Dave a bone this week, too. We'll talk
two
about
bones. That.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. We combined them a little bit, but we had to give Dave
a real party in here.
Yeah. Yeah, but his next topic, the Tiger fan and us and Dave here once, I'm sure, is happy about this. So
I got Torque bat back here, a Torque ball. I got Riley Green stuff. I got you, man. What do you want to see?
Yeah, so both Torkelson and Riley Green were promoted to AAA this past week as both of them and coincidentally had monster weeks. I'll start with Riley first. Dating back to August 8th at AA, he batted .467 with an insane 1.649 OPS, 5 home runs, 10 runs, 15 RBIs, 9 extra base hits, and only struck out 6 times in 33 plate appearances. And then for the first overall pick last year, Torkelson, on the other hand, during that same time frame, which I think his eighth was last Saturday or Sunday, whatever, he batted .423, 4 home runs, 8 runs, 9 RBIs, and an OPS of 1.385. So after both those astronomical weeks, they were promoted to AAA, which some could argue is ahead of their projected timeline, but I guess you can't argue with the production as both have seemed ready for the next level. But I guess we'll start with Dave here. What are your long-term outlooks for both Riley and Torkelson? And do we see Torkelson or Riley in September?
No to September. That's not happening. Fun fact, though, before we get into it, Riley Green has a verified Twitter account, and Spencer Torkelson does not.
Ooh.
Who knew, right? Isn't that interesting? But yeah, these are two guys that, just like the Angels need Reed Detmers, the Tigers really need, Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson. So I'll go Green first as well. I've got Green at 80th in my dynasty rankings, and that's not being a Detroit Tigers homer. That's where he's at, man. I'm concerned with his strikeout rate. We're looking at a 30% K rate so far this year. For the kind of bat that he was, projected to be coming out of high school, that's a little high. I don't necessarily see it improving, as he moves up levels, but it could. It might be one of those things where, his strikeout rate is a little bit troubling until he acclimates at the big league level. And, you might see a year or two down the road before that gets to be above average as opposed to below average. But I'll be curious to see exactly how he starts off at AAA, the rest of the year. He's had great numbers on the season, 16 home runs, 12 stolen bases. Stolen bases are definitely a pleasant surprise. I don't think that speed carries over to the big league level very much. He's going to be a guy that's going to be, good in average, good on base for you. Probably going to get you 20, 25 home runs. And, especially in his, first half of his career, he'll probably still get you a handful of steals, but when you look at his numbers at the minor league level, you might think, oh, this guy might be a 2020 guy. That's just not going to happen. He probably is going to bat somewhere at top or maybe in the middle of that Tigers lineup. He seems like he'd be a really nice two or three hitter. Spencer Torkelson, on the other hand, he comes in 41st in my rankings. So he is way up there. He actually had a very slow start to the season, to the point of some concern for a while. But he's been on a tear for the past few months. His power, his calling card has really started to show through. Absolutely phenomenal on base skills. So, and on base, you know, leagues, he definitely gets a boost there. He's just going to be, you know, zero or close to it on the bases. You're not going to expect, you know, more than just, you know, your couple of random steals that, you know, players get throughout the season. But, you know, what you're getting him for is, you know, he's got a 40 home run bat. He's going to do it while he's hitting 300 right in the middle of that Tigers order. So, you know, everything but steals from him. He's going to be, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.-esque. You know, I don't know that he's going to get to that level necessarily, but he's going to have that kind of a profile where if he's got everything clicking, he still probably is never going to have the chance to be the best player in baseball because he's not going to steal you bags, but he very well is going to contribute at a very high level everywhere else.
All right, Dave.
Nick, what do you get to add to that?
All right.
The professionals.
I feel like I did the same thing with Walker Buehler. Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson.
Let me guess, they're good?
Going to be good.
Wow.
Baseball.
Oh, player. Let me write this down. Hold on.
Take notes.
Hold on. Okay, what was all that? Right. I'm ready.
Riley Green.
Uh-huh. How do you spell that?
R-I-L-E-Y-G-R-E-E-N-E.
Yeah.
And then you can do the little and with the three thing.
Ampersand.
Ampersand. Yep. Oh, thank you. You're and welcome. Spencer S-T-E-N-C-E-R Torkelson, or yeah. Tork, if you will.
Tork.
Will also be
a
good major league baseball player. Good.
First. Is that G-U-D?
Good. Gouda. Gouda, kind of like a cheese. Okay.
Yeah. No, I wrote it down. Thank you.
I don't see 40 homers, but
you think 50? Oh wow, okay, 50 home runs.
I think like 38.
Oh,
he looks like a 38 guy.
Yeah, he's just playing in Comerica. That is a home. That is not the place you want to hit home runs in. He's gonna lead the fucking league in doubles.
Yeah, and I still think it's by the time he's playing, which will be next year. No one's stealing bases, so it's fine.
You could make the bases 80 feet. He still wouldn't steal. So. I mean, it's just no offense. It's just not going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It is what it is.
I do really like Riley Green, though. I feel like obviously he's not slept on, but like he's going to be very fucking good.
I'll tell you, I saw Riley Green 2 years ago play quite a bit because he was in low A at the time. And that's where, you know, he came to Lansing a few different times. And his swing scared the shit out of me. He had this weird little hitch in his swing, and he wasn't hitting well at all. And people were getting really concerned because that was supposed to be his calling card, was this hit tool. And he just looked funky to me, and I was like, oh shit. Like what did we get ourselves into here? And then that's gone away, and he has been phenomenal, and he's been the guy that we've all thought he was gonna be. But mm-hmm. when I watched him the first probably, I don't know, 20, 25 at bats, I was like, oh no, like this isn't, how does he have that kind of a hit tool with this, you know, his swing was a little funky, but, you know, we're past that point now. So, all right. So this is going to be good for both of you because Jason gets to talk and do his down on the farm. And Nick, you get to listen to the song. Down on the farm.
Still gets me every time. Love it.
right in the fields,
yeah.
Boys.
Yeah, so this week we're going to be talking about Hedbert Perez of the Milwaukee Brewers. The 18-year-old Perez was an underrated signing by the Brewers during the 2019-2020 international class. He's a left-handed outfielder, and he currently ranks as the Brewers' third prospect via MLB Pipeline. He's got a solid to above-average approach at the plate. He also has decent raw power for his size. I think he's only like, you know, still young, so it's kind of hard to say about his size, but whatever. He boasts about an above-average speed. It should allow him to stick in center field, and he could also contribute some stolen bases. He's currently playing at the Arizona Complex League, you know, so it's, you know, real low competition, but young guys. But he's having, I mean, great success. In 22 games, he's slashing .326, .376, and a slugging of .616. home runs, 16 runs, 16 RBIs, 2 stolen bases. And that included a game last week where he went 5 for 6 with 2 doubles, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs. Not only that, the Brewers actually invited him to their alternate training site last year as a 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. So that tells you pretty much what the Brewers think of this kid. They're pretty high on him, and so am I. So I don't know. What do you think, Dave?
I want Nick to go first. Let Nick have his run, and then I'll go. All
right. My run. We both know this will be fast.
I know.
But,
your wife knows that too.
I don't have a wife.
Okay.
My lovely girlfriend also knows it's going to be fast. Yes.
No, I was going to say, maybe that's why you don't have a wife yet.
No, it's just my own choice. But anyway, Hedbert, guy that I actually, so this will go, this will be full circle for me. I actually traded Chris Sale at the beginning of this season.
Oh.
For Hedbert Perez. Not straight
up. And oh, okay. I was gonna say there better be a fucking and.
It wasn't good. It was Hedbert.
Well, yeah, of course. You don't make good trades, so of course it wasn't good.
Burdick and first. And I don't have any of those players still left. It all worked out. I now have Zach Wheeler and stuff with all those things moved. But Hedbert was someone that I was targeting all offseason in every single league. He was just a guy that you see a lot of helium with him because I looked at how, as Jason said, they invited him to the alt site. And that was a big indication of just it's a big deal when people are putting their money and assets into other players, like into players. So if they're like spent the time to get him to work closer to them, I guess you could say. But he's been killing it this year. I kind of regret trading him again, but like it's fine.
So I don't want to name drop, so I won't. But I'm not going to name drop. I had a prominent name in the fantasy community actually reach out to me. Yeah. Oh, okay, very okay. Well, you know who it is, so that makes sense. But asked me, he reached out to me because I was Ralph. Or Jeff.
There was so many different things that this could have been interpreted.
Yeah. Reached out to me and asked me about my ranking on Hedbert Perez because I am low on him. He is 813th in my rankings. And on this particular individual's rankings, I think he's like 200 and something. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's somewhere around 250, we'll say. But so we've got a big gap. And for me, I get scared about these international guys a lot of times because most of them don't pan out. You know, Jason Dominguez scares me, or Jason Dominguez. Oh, that's right. Dominguez. He scares me. Awesome. I as soon as I get high on a guy like Christian Robinson, shit happens with him. Mm-hmm. I get high on Eric Pena and he just falls apart. And people are so high on Hedbert Perez, and I'm not even saying that that's wrong at all, because it's not. But we need to slow down a little bit. This kid, for all the hype he's getting right now, he's got 86 professional at-bats in the U.S. And granted, those are a very impressive 86 at-bats, but guys, that's 22 games. Like, that's like a hot month, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Does he deserve to be higher than 813th in my rankings when I do him again? Yes. I like to see things from guys before I just, put them up on the map. It's usually more so pitching than hitting, but I don't know, man. I just get like some Eric Pena vibes and it scares me. So I'm going to bump him up just because he deserves it, but he's not going to 250. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just not yet. So I like I said, I am a little bit concerned about him. I mean, he wasn't, super highly regarded in the 2019 J2 class. That concerns me, a little bit. Mm-hmm. He should stick in center field just because, the Brewers are very up the middle centric, and he's got the speed, to be able to do so. I could see a 30-30, potential for this kid. I mean, he does have that kind of upside. I'm just nowhere near ready to call anything, close to that. He's got a very long ways to go I mean, he's not even playing low A ball, you know, yet. So we've got to see him against some much better competition before I can put him, you know, anywhere in the 250 range personally. So I'm excited for him. I would love to own him in some leagues, but it's kind of like Tyler Glass now, where I would not pay half the price what it would take to Tyler Glass now. It's kind of the same thing with Perez. If somebody owns him now, they either were high on him or they went out of their way to get him. So
would you sell him?
Would I sell him? I would sell him, yes.
Yeah, just, yeah.
But there's no way I would own him at this point. You know,
yeah, just, yeah.
I'm too low on him compared to others to be able to own him. But if I did, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
If you want to give me a top 400 asset right now, you could probably just about pick someone in the 400s, and I would probably take it right here. I'll randomly pick a guy in the 400s. We get
– give me four.
Ooh, that's not good. Rowdy Tellez.
Nope.
I probably would hold on to him for that. But, like, Josiah Gray is there, Luis Campusano.
And you hate pitchers. So
that's Daniel Espino.
I take Espino.
All these guys are right in that range. So it's not to necessarily knock on him. It's just, you know, everyone gets so high on these guys, and we haven't seen anything from him at all. And the fail rate is so high on prospects in general, but prospects in his mold, I think, are also kind of scary because – he either could be a 30-30 guy for a few years and have a great MLB career, or he could be
quadruple A.
He could just be quadruple A at best. Exactly. So we shall see. I'm low man on him with all these guys. I hope you're right. I would love if everyone turned into, you know, a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Like, that'd be awesome. I don't wish bad on anybody. I don't know anything about this kid, and I don't wish him poorly by any means, but I'm not there yet.
Just not for you. That's fine.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
Could be, but as of right now, no. Not yet. All right, boys. All right. Well, how do we want to wrap this up? Anyone have any final thoughts here?
It's a sad day in the Beckner household. I've now found out that
your internet sucks. We already knew that. Yeah, we found that out last week, and it's been confirmed this week.
Yeah. Last week I can blame it on the storms. This week I have no reason why. I don't know.
But why is it a sad day, Jason?
I've been following myself watching the White Sox more than the Cubs, guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The White Sox are so fun.
They're at least watching competitive baseball, you know?
Yeah.
So I have some also sad news.
Oh, geez.
I spent the weekend in Detroit because Miguel Cabrera is sitting on 499 home runs.
And Detroit sucks. So, yeah.
And I watched him – I watched him fly out a few times. I watched him get hit by a pitch. I watched him hit a home run foul down the right field line. And I watched everything except for home run number 500. So fuck me, huh?
Yeah.
You get your Cade Cunningham jersey yet?
No, I didn't. I don't care.
Oh, all right.
No, well, I mean, When they start making the playoffs and stuff, then I'll start.
Okay. Playing.
But until then,
well, you know, speaking of basketball playoffs, tonight my Boston Celtics are fighting for a summer league championship.
Oh boy, congratulations.
And you know what's terribly sad is I'm gonna fucking watch it.
Listen, man, if I would have been able to, I'd have watched Kate Cunningham and Jalen Green the other night.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it was the other night, it was like a week ago.
Oh, yeah. That was fun, though.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. So
something happened to Chris Bassett. Hold on one second.
Oh, breaking news. Has he been traded in 30 Rock? Or
sending prayers to Chris Bassett. Oh, he was struck in the head by a line drive and got carted off the field.
Oh, that's I don't like
oh,
that kind
fuck.
Of stuff. We have to just watch it?
Yeah.
Okay.
On that note.
Yeah. Okay. On that note,
yeah,
we will we will be back next week.
Yep.
And I got to be on the farm, boys.
I'm going to be down the Cape. I'm going to be live from the Cape. My grandpa might be making an appearance.
So oh, I fucking six. Hope he nice. Does. Oh, he better.
We want his take on Dave's on the farm.
All right. We will ask my grandpa whatever questions you want.
I want him to ask the question of the week to us.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Sure.
So I don't even care if you show up. Yeah. I want Poppy.
All right. All right. The Big Poppy will be in the building.
All right. Yeah. Till next week, boys.
See you, boys.